with Cassie McCullough on ABC Radio Sydney.
Yes, coming to you from Liverpool Library, we're talking about the future of Liverpool, which is very exciting, lots of things going on, but there are also some things at the forefront of the mind of the community. Now, let's just hear what some of the people on the streets of Liverpool have been saying about their thoughts on the airport. Jane Shields, our reporter, went out and about and spoke to them.
So there is a new Western City Airport coming. How are you feeling about it?
Very good. We are quite happy because it will be very close to us in the business-wise and everything. So we are quite happy about it.
Yeah, I'm feeling maybe our business getting more better after airport open. Airport comes here, more visitor come, more hotel, more workers we need, then a restaurant job. Then I think very good.
No, I'm not happy because there's too more very strong noise in this area.
You don't think it might bring jobs to the area and industry?
No.
Yeah, that's really good thing, especially for Liverpool area because it's business, it will grow up, people will get lots of job opportunity. Yeah.
I reckon it'd be good. They're bringing a lot more jobs. Hopefully I'll get one of them.
What sort of work would you reckon you'd be looking for out there?
Oh, anything. Anything that pays. At the moment, anything that pays.
Yeah, so some of the thoughts of people in Liverpool talking about the airport and the Aerotropolis. And I guess, you know, Brett Whitworth, the jobs will be everything from CEOs and management and professionals, IT, everything, right through to baggage handlers and people making food in cafes. And, yeah, so it's right across the spectrum.
That's right, that's right. And it's that, you know, that multiplier effect that we're really looking for. And we're looking for good jobs, you know. We're looking for a reason that people will live in the in Western Sydney and work in Western Sydney, not live in Western Sydney and need to commute to the eastern parts of the city. So really looking for that, you know, that opportunity. And I think I've said before, you know, health and medical research, education. So the universities are really keen to establish presences in the Aerotropolis.
Well, they're going to be needed if 500,000 people are coming here.
Yeah.
We're going to need hospitals. We're going to need schools. We're going to need transport. So to you, Scott McCullough, describe for me the customer experience of getting to and arriving at the airport, so for people departing and also people arriving, what will it be like?
In terms of transport?
Yeah, how are they going to get to the airport? How are they going to get out of the airport?
Yeah, so that's a really good question and really relevant to us, because when we're thinking about how we're going to create a really different experience for passengers, we're not thinking about it that starting from the curbside when you arrive at the airport through to getting on your plane. We're thinking about it beginning as soon as you book your ticket, and obviously transport's a really important part of that. So there's been a massive amount of investment in new ground transport around the airport and to the airport. So I think it's something like over $15 billion of new roads and upgraded roads, and of course the new Metro rail line, Sydney Metro Western Sydney Airport. So people will be able to, if they want to catch a train, they'll be able to do that via the new train line.
But where to? It doesn't go all the way to the airport, does it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, absolutely. So the train line, the new train line that they're building, connects to the existing rail network at St Mary's, and it travels down through a couple of stops. And then there are two stops at the airport, one at our business park, one at the passenger terminal, and then it carries on into Bradfield, the new name for the Aerotropolis core.
But I'm sorry about my confusion, because I'm no transport, you know, boffin.
Yep.
But doesn't it mean that, like, just say you're getting, you come to Sydney, you arrive, and then, you know, you disembark, and you get to your bags, and then you get on one of these Metro rails, and it takes you to St Mary's, and then you change and you get on to the heavy rail, you get on a normal passenger plane. So there's not one single line that takes you out. Is that right, Brett?
Well, it when we start the airport, yes, that'll be the case. We'll have buses, high-frequency buses linking Liverpool, Penrith and Campbelltown mm-hmm. to the airport and to the new core of Bradfield. We'll have that metro line, so, fast frequency, regular train coming through. In the longer term, there's opportunities to extend metro from Parramatta out to the airport, and we're also looking at the opportunities in terms of the Southwest Rail Line, which finishes at Leppington at the moment, what opportunities there exist to extend that mm-hmm. or connect a metro in. So work's still going on that. But Cassie, I also want to say, everyone's talking about you fly into Western Sydney Airport and everyone thinks everyone's going to go to the east. We want them to stay in the west. We want them to be able to go to Penrith, to go to Liverpool, to go to Campbelltown. And that's why the metro is designed like it is, and that's why the high-frequency buses are designed the way they are as well. We want to harness the opportunity of the airport and really build the potential for jobs in these great places that we're sitting in now.
Mm-hmm. So I've got to really change my perspective of Sydney.
Yes, it's a little bit, this is why we talk about the three cities of Sydney. We talk about the harbour city focused on Sydney CBD. Just as we talk about that focus on the harbour, in the Western Parkland City, where the focus is on the airport itself and it's supporting for core centres, Liverpool, Penrith, Campbelltown, and, of course, the new centre of Bradfield.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one more tricky question for you on this. I mean, there's a lot of people who would already say that it's hard to get to work, and there have been some really big roads built recently, the M system that's taking people in and out. Now, that can get really expensive. If you're a Liverpool person or a person in this area working, you can be paying a lot for your tolls coming and going, and then there's going to be extra road freight travel, people coming and going. How confident are you that people are going to be able to get in and out as fast as they do now?
Well, look, it's a challenge because we're building a new city. There's a lot of work and a lot of money's already been spent on the upgrade of the Northern Road. Work is already going on in terms of the M12, which will be the motorway that will link off the M7 and connect people into the front door of the airport. And there'll be heaps of opportunities for people around the airport, and we're looking at in our more detailed planning about the opportunities for roads that will sort of go right around the airport and provide that opportunity to connect into key points.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's bring in our other guests now. If you have just joined us, we are at Liverpool Library. We're talking to Brett Whitworth from the Department of Planning and Environment. He's the Deputy Secretary of Greater Sydney Place and Infrastructure. Scott McKillop from Western Sydney Airport is Chief of Corporate Affairs there. Now let's say hello to Wendy Waller, who is Liverpool City Mayor, and also Wayne Wilmington, who's the President of the London Progress Association. Hello, thanks also for being here.
Hi, Cassie, thank you.
Now, you two are both locals. When I say local, I really mean it. Now, you've got some cred, Wendy, because you've been here for something like 60 years.
Yes, it's a miracle I'm 21, but yeah.
Space travel, time travel.
Yep.
And you've also been on the council since 1995.
That's right.
You're the first female mayor, and you re-elected a couple of years back. Yeah. You've seen a lot of change.
Yes, I've seen Liverpool as a township, as a city, as a regional centre, and in my mind, in my residents' mind, a third CBD. So we're doing well.
Yeah, and so when you hear about all these plans and you've been drilling into the detail and how that's going to work with your city, what do you see? Describe what you see for us.
Well, we're seeing, an evolving city in the sense that we understand who we are and what we are, obviously, but the Aerotropolis and the airport will bring future jobs, which is desperately needed in Western Sydney, because most of our residents do leave the city to work. I think in our case it's about 60% of our folk are in cars every day heading out away. So we need to keep them, and it also has a flow on for the economy, but also family life, etc. So it's important the connectivity between Liverpool, Penrith and Campbelltown particularly, and there are other places as as well, is firmly there. So we do relate very early in the piece to the Aerotropolis and to the airport, because people may wish to work there. And it's not just passenger, it is also the people who want to be employed in that particular space as well. And those opportunities will be there. We do know that the universities have an MOU where there's three universities wish to set up shop out there at the Aerotropolis. And that will only improve the whole opportunity for everybody that's affected. And you will see, like, it's 5 years off as we speak. So we can actually see a child in 5 years' time who goes to kindergarten in Liverpool and can go through their whole education in Liverpool or adjoining LGAs, work in the local area, and obviously get a high-tech job out at the Aerotropolis. And that's becoming a reality.
And so what about all the infrastructure that you're having to think about? What's on the list?
Well, there's a lot of lists, unfortunately, and they all have a dollar value, which makes it very tricky. But I want to pick up on something that was said about the Lippington Spur. I think I understand the need for hard rail and everything else, but I think we have a station at Lippington, and it can easily be connected up to the airport, and it would be a very economical exercise to do that. That means you can get on a train and go straight through to Sydney without changing anything, which would be ideal for people who want to move to that airport for work or for pleasure, because transport out here is a bit of a tricky experience, and it is, you are in a car for a lengthy period of time if you're coming from the city, particularly, as most of you would know coming from Ultimo, so I suppose it is, but it's where the action is. I think we're a very big economy. Southwest Western Sydney is one of the biggest economies in Australia, actually, taking out the mining industry, I suppose. But Western Australia always wants to be a bit separatist, so it's a bit different. but we do have, I think, a thriving economy, and we also, this is where people are coming to live. This is their home. And we are multicultural. That is the reality. So people have very strong expectations of what is to be delivered.
Yeah, so jobs will be fantastic. Opportunities will be brilliant. And what about, you know, things like, I don't know, water? I mean, are you going to have enough water if we have another drought like that?
Well, yes, we are. We do have enough water, but I think the way that estates are being planned is a bit of a concern, because the blocks are being released for sale. And I know our council particularly has been very concerned that the amenity needs to be there as well. And as most people know in local government, that amenity comes, unfortunately, sometimes a bit too late or later. And we need to make sure that these estates are planned and have all those things in place, including water. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of pressure on people, because the people in charge of the water, they're answerable to their boffins, and they have plans about how and what the priorities are for that particular piece of utility. So,
and what about not a drought, but the opposite, what we've just witnessed in the last few weeks, when too much water comes? Actually, Liverpool isn't really, you know, one of the hardest hit.
Penrith had a big challenge. Penrith always does, unfortunately. We were very fortunate in the sense that most folk know their roads. They know that, especially out in the rural areas heading out to the Aerotropolis and the airport, most people know, you know, what floods, what doesn't flood, and when it floods. They have that feel. We had to redo our flooding maps because they're pretty ancient, and there's a bit of upset in the community because they're saying, well, my property didn't flood, so you got it all wrong. But the experts are telling us, look, that was not a 1 in 100 year flood. So that's coming, unfortunately. I did feel like we were about to pack animals 2x2 in the boot of the car the other day, I have to admit. But it wasn't the 1 in 100. It was 1 in 20, as far as I'm aware.
For your area?
For our area. Yeah. We were very fortunate. Mm-hmm. Very fortunate. But as I said, most folk knew in advance, so we were very lucky.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll just put that question also to you, Brett Whitworth, you know, from the planning department's point of view. A lot of people are coming. That's a lot of, excuse my frankness, but that's a lot of toilets flushing. That's a lot of showers. That's a lot of people, you know, washing up. You know, this is a huge, bold, audacious plan. How's the water going to be delivered?
So it is, and we need a bold, audacious plan in response. And the bold, audacious plan is, instead of, you know, when people flush their toilet, instead of steaming all that water out to the ocean, instead of when water hits people's roof and runs down into the stormwater system and flows out, how about we keep it in the catchment? So we've been doing a lot of work around South Creek, Winnemata South Creek, to see how we can retain the water in the catchment. So recycle water plants. So all that needs of industry for water, we hope will be able to be supplied through recycled water and a new recycled water factory that Sydney Water is looking at in the area. We've talked about a clean and a green aerotropolis as well, making sure that we've got water to plant trees to help reduce some of the heat impact, because not only does it flood, but there's a lot of heat out here in summer, and trees are on, you know, nature's air conditioning system. So using that water, keeping it in the landscape, is all part of that planning that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's hear from you, Wayne Wilmington. You're the president of Ludden and Progress Association, and also you've got some pretty good cred, in terms of the area. I think your family's been here since, what, 1850?
1850.
and so you're really interested in the way land has been acquired, and so is the association that you're part of. What are you worried about?
I think a lot of the problems are that people out there, and the plans are out, and they've come out with the precinct plans, but there's some issues regarding, like, it's going to be a green city. We know it's going to be a green city. We're aware that a lot of the aerotropolis is going to be green, but a lot of the property owners' property has been designated green and becomes like worthless because they can't sell their property, they can't do anything with their property, and the government has said, we have no money to buy the property, so the landowners will be stuck on their piece of green land until somebody comes up with some money to actually purchase their land. So that's the biggest issue regarding the airport and the aerotropolis at the moment. I think it's those green areas and what will happen. There's part around the new city of Bradfield that the government will be acquiring in the initial stage, but there's no time plan, there's no time frame on when these other green zones will go. And a lot of the people are older, they've got their 5-acre farms that they want to sell, they want to go into a retirement village, but they can't sell because nobody wants to buy this green parkland that they can't do anything with.
So they had these quite nice bits of land, because we've got to remember that much of this area we're talking about is rural, semi-rural, has been, you know, very much undeveloped property. So they had huge, you know, not huge, but sizable chunks of land, which could have been a very nice retirement if they ever chose to leave, but clearly your family never chose to leave. But now that has had its value reduced because it's been zoned green, and it's no one wants to buy that because they can't do anything with it.
Well, I think an issue is that whether it's the value of land out there is a big question at the moment. Everybody talks about what is the value of my land, and there's a lot of like 5 acres. There's building blocks in Ludnam. There's a whole range from big blocks to little blocks, and the land value is something that's unknown. But it's these people that want us, have been market gardeners and now time to go off and into a retirement village or an over 55s or something like that, and they can't sell. There is a lot of land, there's a lot of parkland, and there's a lot of land that's designated as green. And that's the big issue out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, Jane Shields, our producer, was talking to people on the street about this. Here's just one of the voices.
I think if you're from the poor, if you're a poor person, you don't get anyone to represent you, it seems like there's no way you're going to get your land bought by the government. And some people saw it earlier, I think about 20 years ago, so they started planning. Unfortunately, some people didn't. So they couldn't get their lands to be sold. So unfortunately, they should have planned, but whom you know, I guess. Because it started more 30 years ago, more about 40 years ago, and now the most towns have encroached on that land. So that was a plan. So I mean, they shouldn't have released a lot of places to be built on if they knew the airport is going to be built. But it started about 40, 50 years ago. Yeah, so I think people should have known better. But I mean, they actually work both ways. Some people bought land there, they done very well. Some people didn't. So it was a gamble. And actually, those who knew what they were doing have been very successful.
Mm-hmm. So, some winners and some losers, I guess, is what that person was saying.
always going to be winners and losers with property. So, but yeah, I just think the uncertainty of a time frame for what's going to happen, and that's the other problem out there. You know, there's some great plans and the precinct plans, but there's no time frame on when that's going to happen.
Well, that you mean the actual what parties?
Well, the development, because you know the precinct plans are out, and you know we all had a chance to make a comment on them, but now once it all comes out, there's no one going to walk in and say, oh, we're going to develop this whole area, but it's all up to developers and people buying in. There's no time frame for other than what the government already own, like in Bradfield, where they own part of the land, they can do. But all the other 2,000 odd landowners that own the land in the Aerotropolis, there's no certainty on when.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess, I mean, just for clarity, did you, Wayne, I mean, have you suffered financially from this change, or...?
I live in Ludnam, and that's now zoned to be a core, so I don't believe, but I don't know what the value is. You know, I spoke to somebody about what the value of land is, and my property is valued at agribusiness, and you talk to a valuer and they go, I don't know what agribusiness is. It's not like a commercial or any, like a normal zoning, because agribusiness is a different zoning, and the valuers and people don't know, you know, what you can do on this agribusiness land.
This is so interesting because, I mean, I'm sure there is a pretty good definition of it, but the fascinating part of planning, and I guess, you know, Brett Whitworth, this is always the thing, it's chicken and egg. Build it and they will come, or, you know, just start building and sort of see what needs emerge. This is always the classic problem with planning.
It is, and if you over-regulate, then you stifle innovation, and if you don't give enough regulation, then people potentially get impacted if they're not protected. So we really heard through the exhibition processes the really strong concerns about the issues around open space, and we want to make sure that we've got an answer for that as part of finalising the plans. I also think that Wayne made a really good point that there are lots of, that, you know, the Aerotropolis is one of those places where there's lots of really big land holdings, but there's also lots of really small land holdings. So there's got to be a better way that we can help the smaller rural landholders work their way through the development process. And we've been really working very hard to get the planning thing done right. Now we've got to shift that phase to into the development phase. And, you know, there'll be, you know, some of my colleagues in other parts of the state agency in the state government that are looking at that and how we can get utilities into the area. And that'll dictate when a lot of the development potential will happen. Mm-hmm. But also making sure that we're not just planning for the big landholders, that we're able to bring the smaller rural landholders along with us. And that might well mean, you know, saying to the big landholders, you've got to take some of these people under your wing and help them out.
So. Well, let's hope there is a real spirit of progress in the whole approach that people bring from whatever quarter they come. Well, look, there's so many issues that we haven't touched on. I particularly wanted to ask you, how are you going to get all that fuel out to the airport? I mean, is that going to be on the roads just quietly?
There is conversation about a fuel pipeline. Obviously, we're actually using this as an opportunity to advance putting utilities together, which is, you know, quite, you know, which is an innovation in itself. But obviously, you don't necessarily want to put fuel in the same trench as electricity. So, there are people looking at the opportunities to get fuel out to the airport as well.
Well, that would take a lot of traffic off the road. Now we've got very little time left, and I want to just go quickly around the grounds. What's the best thing that's going to happen, Scott? I'm going to start with you. Are you going to be? I know you're an aviation enthusiast. You're a pilot yourself. Are you going to be trying to get on that first flight? Is that what you're looking forward to?
Oh, look, I would love to be on one of the first flights, definitely, but I think I'm going to be standing in the passenger terminal watching it land and cheering along with many other people.
What about you, Wendy? What are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to the increase of produce going out from our local area to overseas, so people really do get an immediate benefit from it.
That is super exciting. And Wayne Wilmington, what's the best thing about it? You know, you've got all the history and heritage here. What's the best thing about it?
I think it's the jobs, and I think it's bringing Western Sydney. We know Western Sydney is, you know, we call it God's country. It's the best land in the world. And now, you know, lots of other people will get to enjoy our lovely area.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, there is so much going on, and there'll be, and I know, Brett, you'll be, you know, working like crazy on this. What do you love about it the best?
I'm really looking forward to being able to ride some of the new public transport connections, actually. So, you know, a bit of a public transport buff myself. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, well, that will be one of the great tests and one of the great achievements if it's pulled off. Look, thank you all. I know that, you know, it's difficult to talk about these things and take these questions, and I really appreciate you doing that, coming and talking to us really frankly and you know, going through some of the issues. And thank you to all the people who have come along to say hello and to see what's going on. Wonderful to have you too. Okay, so we've been talking with Wendy Waller, Liverpool City Council Mayor, Wayne Wilmington, President of the Luddenham and Progress Association, Brett Whitworth, Deputy Secretary, Greater Sydney Place and Infrastructure in the New South Wales Department of Planning and Environment, and Scott McKillop, Western Sydney Airport's Chief Corporate Affairs Officer. Now, we are going to be doing this whole thing again.